Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you download us from. Thank you for doing that. We have a wonderful guest for This Is 1226B of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Roizen. Jocelyn King is the queen of online safety and the creator of Clear, C-L-E-E-R, Confidence. And she's going to talk about keeping our medical records safe, which is a vital interest for all of us. And I'm especially interested in learning from her. I should tell you, we are sponsored as usual by Life's First Naturals, the makers of probiotic Trubiotic and of bovine colostrum, something that in randomized double-blind controlled trials keeps your intestinal lining thicker, which prevents bloating and prevents the dysfunction after an upper respiratory infection or after too much exercise and a whole bunch of other things such as use of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, even aspirin. That's LifeFirstNaturals.com and their bovine colostrum, and their Di-Rescue in the blogosphere seems to prevent, taken 2 days before, the day of, and 2 days after, the events of GLP-1 in diet, that is in diarrhea or constipation or GI disturbances. That's Di-Rescue, D-I-A-R-E-S-Q. And of course, our own website, Longevity Playbook, where you can go and sign up for the free newsletter. But I'm excited to talk to Jocelyn King, the queen of online safety, and find out how she got into this field, as well as what to do. I should tell her there are an attempted 3 billion hits. Amazing to me, 3 billion attempts. Obviously, they've got to be done by some machine, 3 billion or many machines, 3 billion attempts to break through the Cleveland Clinic security system every day, 3 billion a day. And so far, knock on some wood, they haven't gotten us to our knowledge. And I should also say that once a week there's a practice on, a challenge for each of us of a phishing expedition on email, which we are to identify as physicians. And of course, there is a huge penalty for anyone looking at anyone's chart that they're not authorized to look for as a caregiver. You're fired immediately, no questions asked. Obviously, if you hit it accidentally for 20 or 30 seconds, that's not what they're after, but it is if you're on there for a minute or two more than you should be, you are summarily taken to the woodshed. So that's what we do. But Jocelyn, we know why there's so many hits. Hospitals seem to be a rich target, but it seems like Epic seems pretty good at protecting it.
That's great because there are so many. I mean, I watch a live global map of all the threats on a daily basis. And usually by the time I'm having my second cup of coffee in the morning, we're over 10 million. And that's just the viruses and the malware. That's not the individual hits like you're talking about. You know, a lot of people sometimes ask me why they get so many letters about breaches and why is cybersecurity in such a horrible state. And I would say that when you look at the actual numbers of the attempts and of everything going on, our men and women on the front line of cybersecurity are doing an incredible job of keeping us safe, especially when you realize that there are 500,000 open positions related to cybersecurity in the U.S. alone.
So you're in great demand.
Yes.
The queen of cybersecurity should be close to huge demand. Now, I know the story, but our listeners would probably like to hear, how did you get into this field?
Sure, I'm happy to. And by the way, I just want to thank you for having me on the show. I love your show. I love what you do for your listeners. I enjoy being one, and it's an honor and a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's my honor, please. We've got to keep doing more of this.
So the way I got into it was completely involuntary. I was actually at a height in my own life. I was working in tech, which I enjoyed, standing up a marketing team and building out some wonderful programs and having a great time in tech. I had bought a home I loved in the San Francisco Bay Area. I was working at Intel. At the time, we had just been acquired by Intel, and I was getting to work with the CEO and rubbing elbows with all these great Silicon Valley people, having a great time. And I was targeted by cyber criminals, which had nothing to do with what was going on in my work life. It was not related to that. But I was targeted. And the thing that I, unfortunately...
What do you mean by targeted?
Well, they hacked my network. They compromised my identity. And then they even were able to break into my home. They were able to mimic a family member to the point where they were opening the deadbolts from our security system at midnight without triggering an alarm. And so they had really gotten the keys to the kingdom of my life. And it ended up being a long-term situation, which happens to a lot of people, as I painfully came to discover, that some things are just single breaches and others are long haul. They go on for 1 to 2 years. And mine was in that latter category. And so I had my home broken into, but didn't know when or where because they were planting surveillance. So then I was having my conversations listened to, learning information, and it ultimately ended up costing me over $500,000. It cost me opportunities because I was so distracted by everything going on in my life and trying to get help from the FBI and the local law enforcement and everyone that I wasn't able to go for the job promotions and things that I could have normally done. So it affected my career. It took a toll on my marriage. It took a toll on my emotional and mental health. And then guess what? It took a toll on my physical health as a result of over a year, 2 years of chronic stress and living in fear.
Did the FBI or someone ever find out who did this?
Well, part of what we did was spend a lot of money on private investigators. While I contacted the FBI and spoke with the field agent and had local law enforcement, what I came to learn was discouraging because I was hoping, oh, good, I'll call the authorities and they're going to sweep in and find the bad guys and give me my life back and they're going to go to jail and all will be right with the world. And they are so inundated that I found out I was one of a million people, just shy of a million people, filing cybercrime reports with the FBI that year. So they're on to the next thing. So unless you're dealing with issues of national security or major corporation or bank fraud at a massive level, you're not even going to get a callback. And so I found myself, that was the secondary part of the cybercrime, was the fact that it's just so commonplace that you find you're just a statistic. And that's as disheartening and upsetting as being a victim is in the first place. So all of this I came to know through personal experience. And there was one day, Dr. Roizen, where my eyes opened in the morning, I was laying in bed and I thought, I don't see a way out. And for a split second, I was looking at two bottles of Ambien, because at this point I'm taking antidepressants and sleep aids. I can't even sleep with anything. And for a moment, I was almost ready to give in, but I decided that this was not going to be the ending of the story, that I was going to rally. I had to find not only a way out, but I had to find out how to prevent this so that I could make sure it didn't happen to my family members, friends, and loved ones. And I vowed that once I figured out how to protect myself, I would share that information with everyone I could. And that's what I'm doing now.
Well, let's talk about that. So one of the things is medical records have everything in them. When I look at a medical record, it's got a social security number, it's got cell phones, it's got addresses, it's got all of the information of someone. How often are those hacked or stolen? And what do you do? There was a major breach in charging from United Healthcare's billing system this year that affected, I think it affected the bills of something on the order of 50% of Americans. How do you protect yourself in that case?
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, I think consumers are spending too much time trying to protect things like their social security number and other personal identifiable information, PII. And I'm not saying to not try to protect it, but I think that people are feeling like if I can just protect it, everything will be okay. And what I first advise people is you start with assuming that it's already been stolen and sold 1,000 times on the dark web, and focus more on your protection of yourself, of how to protect yourself from it being used against you. And when you do that, first of all, you're more empowered. Secondly, you're much safer. And thirdly, you're fighting fire with fire a little bit more because you're not trying to protect something that probably happened 20 years ago. You know, let me just start with something. Social Security numbers. Okay, over 300 million Social Security numbers are on the dark web. The last count of how many Americans there are is 335 million. So let's just say that it's practically all of us. So if you start with that assumption and then you go, how can I protect it from being used against me? You're going to be doing a much better job of investing your time in a much more savvy way.
So let's talk about how do we start using it being used against us. So one of the things I was told, and I don't know if this is a good or bad, so you can react to that and then say what would be better, is in fact, I was told to freeze my credit, the 4 credit bureaus, credit reports, and then I can unfreeze them when I need it for a day. So someone looks it up and then refreeze it immediately again. And I've done that. Is that an effective possible way of protecting yourself?
Yes, that's in the top 5 things you should do. If you don't already have accounts at all 3 of the credit bureaus, you want to set one up. And a few years ago, it was very painful to unfreeze your credit. You had to have the PIN they sent you and everything, but it's all very convenient now. They all have apps and logins that you can use on your browser. When I went in to purchase my car, it literally took me 6 minutes to unfreeze all 3 of them. And that's the funny thing is once it's frozen, you forget it's frozen. And somebody's running a credit check for something that you're buying. And then they say, is your credit frozen? And you go, oh yes, it is. I have to unfreeze it. And within 6 minutes, you can unfreeze them until the next day and let them run them. And sometimes it's even worth asking them, are you running on all 3 or just 1? Because why unfreeze it on all 3 credit unions if they're only running against TransUnion or Experian? So just ask them and then you just unfreeze it and you don't even have to go back in and refreeze it. You just put a temporary lift on your freeze and you give it the date of tomorrow, and that afternoon they're running the credit check, and then you're protected when you wake up in the morning.
Okay, what are the other 4?
And let me add to the credit, you can also go in and freeze your Social Security account. Most people don't know about this. You can log into your Social Security on the .gov and you can freeze your Social Security number. Here's the thing, Social Security numbers are so well known. I sit down with people sometimes and I'll just sit there and I won't even have them give me their last name. I'll just get their phone number or their address, or usually just their phone number and first name. And I'm not a power hacker by any means. I'm a newbie. I'm what they call a script kiddie. But I can still find their Social Security number, their address. I can tell you where you live, work, and work out. And Social Security numbers are so common that on the dark web, they only sell for $2. Okay. Whereas your medical records sell for $1,000, or a verified Stripe account with a payment gateway sells for $1,000. Social Security numbers, they're such common denominations on the dark web that they're only worth $2 because so many people have them and they're used so commonly. So that gives you a sense of the scale.
So first thing is freeze your 3 credit numbers and maybe your Social Security account,
correct,
although it's probably already there. What are the other 4?
Well, another thing to do is, of course, passwords. We've all seen Saturday Night Live skits and movies and everything with the funny joke about the person who has a password, 123 password or something. But it's still true. The most common used passwords are still password 123, 111111, I love you. I mean, it's just, there's these top 10. What happens, and I just think it's important that people understand how they're used, is it's not that there's a person out there who's got your Yahoo or Gmail account number and is manually spending 5 minutes trying to figure out if you're using it. This is all automated. It's been on bots for years. And now adding AI, it puts it at a different level of scale, which means it's all the more important that you do the right data protection hygiene up front. So what happens is you want to be using a unique password. Here's an example. You come up with one really good password and then you use it everywhere. Well, one breach that happens gets that password and your email, and now they're getting into your other accounts. So I even tell people, like, the average person has 200 accounts, okay, that they have password protections on. So let's say between 100 and 300. And then people get overwhelmed at the thought of trying to make those unique, so they don't do anything. Here's what I would tell you. Start with the top 10 to 15 most important accounts. Obviously, your retirement account, your bank account, your savings, places where you store photos that if you had them stolen and ransomed and you couldn't retrieve them, you'd be devastated. Where is everything that would make your life miserable? And then protect those. The analogy I use is if somebody steals your AAA account password, they might get a free tow. But if they steal your retirement account and drain your resources, it's a totally different day. So really start by protecting the things that matter. And I recommend you get a password manager. There are excellent ones. There are free ones that will work for you where you can get up to 25 passwords in one device. But for a password manager that costs somewhere between $10 and $60 a year, that's some of the best protection dollars you're going to be spending. And it also makes your life so easy. Because, for instance, we were talking about the credit bureaus. What you would do with password managers in your three credit bureaus is put them in your password manager. You let it generate a very unique, complex password for you. And then you put in the website for the login where it's going to go. So you don't even have to open your Chrome browser and go to Experian or TransUnion. You just open your password manager. You click on TransUnion and you say open and fill. It goes to the website. It puts in your username. It puts in your password and lets you in. And if there's ever a breach on any of these, it gives you an alert to that as well.
So I have 22-letter passwords. That is, they're all 22 digits long because I was told that the bots don't go past 21. Is that true anymore? With AI, it probably goes for infinite now.
Well, let's just say that every time you add a digit or a character, it exponentially increases the amount of time it would take to hack through it. So longer is better. Again, these password managers will do that for you. In fact, it's hard to get them. Sometimes I go onto an occasional website where it won't let me put that password in because it's too long, the one that gets auto-generated. And then I have to take off four characters and save it that way. So the longer, the better. But if you let the password manager do all the work for you, you've got a great assistant.
I've always wondered, can't someone hack into the password manager and get all your passwords in?
So technically they can, but here's the thing. I have a lot of people say, well, but aren't they vulnerable to being hacked? And it's like, they are far less vulnerable to being hacked than you and I are on a daily basis. And when they are hacked, it's noted. Here's the other thing. They don't keep the details of who you are and your accounts and your passwords and your login details all in one database. It's not like a giant Excel file that they download and have all the keys to the kingdom. These things are separated. So you have identifiers and you have keys, these very sophisticated cybersecurity tools that have been built that are used by our government and everything else that have to connect the two. So it's not like somebody's downloading all that information in plain English. There's all these hex codes. I will tell you that LastPass is a password manager and they were hacked and there were some people who were compromised, but it wasn't all the information. And in fact, it's more vulnerable that they're going to get the credit card that you pay for the password manager in, because that's a different system. It's more likely that they're going to get that. And then once there's a breach, there is an announcement. But here's the other thing. You're going to remember one password for your password manager. And if you change it every 30 days, you have such high protection. Because let's say they did get in and breach and the company didn't know about it or didn't publicize it right away. And then randomly 14 days from then, you're updating it. By the time they've sold the information, you've changed your password. Things are put out about here's your Yahoo email and here's your password. And that's what's sold on the dark web. And then they take these computerized bots and they're just doing these brute force attacks at scale of trying to log into multiple accounts. And that's how they get in. And you know, they're doing millions and millions and millions to get the few that are successful. And so a password manager is far safer than anything that the average person has. And so it's still a better bet.
So we've gotten two ideas. One is lock your credit report accounts and use a password manager and mind your passwords, I guess you would say. Give us a third idea of what to do. I mean, United got hacked. What do we do then?
So let me just say that two-thirds of all hacking attempts go to small businesses. Small businesses are far more vulnerable because they're mom-and-pop shops or small organizations, and they don't have chief information security officers and an entire team. I mean, the large corporations are spending hundreds of millions of dollars on protecting the data, which a small business can't. So they're much more vulnerable, and they have this. For instance, a client of mine was a veterinarian who had been hacked. What happened was he was a very trustworthy person. His office manager was a lovely young woman, very trustworthy. But she had a boyfriend slash roommate who wasn't, and she didn't know that. And she was logging in from home one evening. She steps away to take a shower, and he downloads the veterinarian's entire client list and all their credit cards. And the way he found out about it was because this was at such a scale, it was all traced back to this being the common denominator, because all of the cards that had been used had also been used to pay the veterinarian. And so they came back. It almost made his business fold. Now, two-thirds of small businesses that undergo some kind of cyber attack or ransomware attack go out of business within 6 months. And that's far too many. And so for the listeners who are small business owners or who know small business owners, and let's say who among us doesn't do business with a small business, and then our information is vulnerable. So you really need to be thinking at things. I know the letters that we get from the large corporations and the Fortune 500s, they're the more visible and they catch the headlines because of the scale, but they're often not the most damaging. The most damaging can be the small businesses. So for instance, it's worth asking your tax preparer and others who have access to information what security measures they have in place. And if they're able to tell you what they do because they've put some time into thinking about it, you're in much better shape than if they give you a blank stare and you can tell they haven't even given any thought to this at all. Because some of them are still writing down your credit card numbers on paper. Some are still putting your social security numbers into spreadsheets, things like that, that they shouldn't be doing. They're making rookie mistakes and you don't want them to fall back on you.
Got it. So when you're a small business owner, what do you then do for cybersecurity that's in addition to what you've told us so far? In other words, it seems to me that even when I look at the number of things, in other words, one of the rules we're taught is don't download anything that's an attachment from anyone who you don't know. And if it looks weird, even if it's from someone you do know, don't download it, meaning check with them first. And one of the amazing things at the Cleveland Clinic is we can't use thumb drives. So there are no thumb drive usage at all on our computers, as apparently that's an easy way for hacking.
Yes, it's very easy for people to use thumb drives to actually intentionally upload. Also, they don't want to be downloading anything for whatever reason that they shouldn't be having access to. And they want to store it in the cloud, which is secure. And they also don't want to introduce viruses. So one-third of cybersecurity attacks inside companies are from accidental clicks on links. People click on something because they didn't look at the email address. It came from, it said it was from Dr. Roizen, but it was actually from imgonnahackyou@gmail.com, you know? So, but they're looking at the name, not the email address. And so one-third are from innocent mistakes, but another third are from insider threats. That's from people who are intentionally doing espionage inside the company so that they can then sell the information to a competitor or on the dark web. It's hard to tell a black hat from a white hat. Black hats are bad hackers and white hats are the good guys who are protecting them. And a black hat can put on a white hat and look like a good guy. They can be a contractor in the IT department or any other part of the organization. And they could come in and decide to do that. In fact, here's a new trend that's happening. what a lot of hackers are doing now, because companies have gotten so good at increasing their security, that one of the ways hackers are using social engineering now is they're contacting employees and offering them. They're saying, hey, you get me these files and I'll sell them and you get 60% and I get 40%. And so they're offering them the bribe that, so if they get information that's worth $100,000, that employee is going to get $60,000. So they're going right to the employees who have access to the data, and then they never have to set foot in the company's premises or even log in to their accounts.
Wow. So we've gone through a couple things. What's a good website to learn more about the queen of cybersecurity, Jocelyn King, and more importantly, to learn more about what we can do about cybersecurity? You have a website.
I do, and it would be smarteronlinesafety.com. That's where my programs are. I offer lots of free resources. You can sign up for my emails and get alerts and tips. I put out videos and tell people how to protect themselves, and I offer low-cost classes and workshops. And I'm on a mission to help as many people as possible learn how to protect themselves and their loved ones. And so I would love to help all of your listeners protect themselves. So feel free to sign up and get all this free advice and then start taking care of yourself, and you'll get all the tips of what you need to do.
Thank you very much for doing this. Say it again. Smarter.
SmarterOnlineSafety.com. The initials
SmarterOnlineSafety.com. SmarterOnlineSafety.com. I'm glad we got it correct. This has been 1226B. The bees are always wonderful guests, like the Smarter Online Safety, SOS person, if you will, Jocelyn King has been. We're brought to you by Life First Naturals, the makers of Truebiotics and Bovine Colostrum, as well as Dye Rescue. Go to their website. You can see the double-blind randomized controlled trials that show efficacy and safety, as well as their dye rescue used for people who are taking one of the GLP drugs. That is dye rescue. And, of course, Longevity Playbook, where you can sign up for the free newsletter, longevityplaybook.com. We won't sell your name to anyone. Thanks again, Jocelyn. And thank you, Brad, for engineering. We'll be back next week. We hope you are too. This has been 1226B. The A's are always the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. Thanks again.